Hey, 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 guys. Welcome to Building This Community.
This is your city business and policy development podcast. We're your hosts,
Luke Patrick
and Andrew Klump. Welcome to this week's episode of Building This Community. Our guest today is Tammy York Day, who is the president and CEO of the Louisville Healthcare CEO Council and previously worked as the COO of Delta Dental. Tammy, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Doing well, doing well. Thanks so much for joining us. I just gave a little bit of your background, but can you just give more depth?
Absolutely. You know, I always jokingly say I had to have CEO twice in my title with our name of our organization. Yes. So I'm president and CEO of the Louisville Healthcare CEO Council. And, you know, previously moved into that position from being COO at Delta Dental. I was in the kind of on the payer side, when you think of it for insurance and health and oral health, and before moving into this position, and started my career in sales and marketing, and then moved through the organization at all the different levels, ultimately, you know, over to the operations side, and then had both in my role as COO, which was very helpful, actually, moving into the position that I hold now.
That's awesome. But now with the CEO Council, for anybody that might not know, can you explain what you guys do and what the council seeks to do as an organization?
Absolutely. You know, the Louisville Healthcare CEO Council is an organization that was formed in 2017. Actually, you know, the impetus for it and the convening was David Jones Sr., what an incredible man, who said, we should be in the room as healthcare leaders, since we have the largest density of cluster in Louisville with healthcare companies, especially those related to aging in healthcare. And so why don't we just get together as the CEOs of these organizations and discuss the challenges that we're facing with an aging nation, and also how we can take our collective strength in this cluster for economic vibrancy for Louisville. So with Rick Rimmers and Phil Marshall, they convened the group of CEOs, and they got together in early 2017 to decide what the organization should be. Should it be an organization? Should they just talk and say, how can we use our you know, experience and that whole line of sight we have across the continuum? They worked with consultant, decided that they did want to formalize the organization, filed as a 501c4 in fall of 2017, did a search for president and CEO, and I joined in January of 2018. So the council now, it's collectively 12 of the major healthcare companies, especially in aging innovation, that are headquartered in Louisville, Kentucky. And by our bylaws, only the CEO of the organization serves on our board of directors. Collectively, we're about $120 billion in revenue, 450,000 employees nationally, and impact more than 80 million lives annually. And so our board members are our board chair, amazing board chair, is Ben Breyer, who is CEO of Kindred. Then we have Baptist Health, we have Galen College of Nursing, Humana, Norton, Signature Healthcare, Apellis, Bright Spring Health Services, Hospice, Atria Senior Living, Trilogy, and Kindred Healthcare, as well as Anthem. Kenan Wethington, who's president of Anthem Kentucky, serves on our board. He is the only one. He's not the CEO. Gail Bordeaux out of Indianapolis is actually their CEO, but Anthem has such a strong presence here that they made that exception and grandfathered that in initially. So that's a summary of who we are. What we do, you know, really in our mission comes down to two focuses. One is to take our line of sight across the whole healthcare continuum to be able to provide solutions to the challenges that we have in healthcare with an aging nation. And then the other is for economic vibrancy for Louisville with reshaping our health economy.
Well, for an outsider, I've always thought it was super interesting to think of a bunch of ostensibly competing businesses getting together to work on issues like that. Is your all's organization maybe mimicking any concepts that you've seen in other cities, such as Andrew and I have talked about? You know, Nashville also has a healthcare CEO council. Is there anything that you guys have learned or could learn from them?
You know, Haley, who runs the Nashville Healthcare Council, is amazing. And we actually get together. There are about seven of us from different healthcare councils across the nation who get together to share ideas, to discuss what's going on in our respective cities. And I find that very valuable. We, you know, I always say I would much rather take the lessons learned from others and other organizations and you know, use that those findings and those lessons learned, you know, instead of having to recreate everything ourselves. But we're very different, both as an organization and also as a city. You know, in Louisville often, and maybe that the same globally, we compare ourselves like as benchmarking for metrics and to other cities, like, oh, we want to be Nashville or we want to be Austin or we want to be Boston. And I find that's a trap I never want to fall into, because we're very different than the other cities. So we absolutely learn and use concepts from others, such as the Nashville Healthcare Council. But, you know, with our own focus and using the nuances and differences. So, no, we're a different organization. You know, one, we're much smaller and much more focused. Two, we have Health Enterprises Network here, who is very much like the Nashville Healthcare Council. And we work very closely, you know, with him in that organization. So, you know, lessons learned, yes. You know, comparable, not exactly.
That's the answer, actually, I was kind of hoping to hear, because to me, I think great cities steal other concepts from other great cities, but it's not as simple as a cut and paste. It never has been and never will be. And so I think looking for good ideas and then trying to tailor what works for you is the best mode to go forward with. So I really do like that answer.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Well, so do you think that maybe other business sectors could learn from your all's example by banding together to bring together the heads of businesses in a specific sector to kind of amplify their voice and maybe address challenges? Or, I mean, maybe it doesn't have to be the same sector. Maybe it's leaders from different industries. There's something to be learned from your all's example.
You know, it's an interesting question, because we've also had these conversations. You know, when you look at other organizations like Centrifuge out of Cincinnati, it's a council and a group that has efforts around entrepreneurship, leveraging a non-specific and you know, agnostic of industry council with the business leaders. And one of the unique things with LHCC is that we are so very specific, because there are healthcare councils, there are CEO councils. We're the only model that we've seen in the nation that is a CEO council very specific to healthcare. And you know, it's been interesting as there have been conversations around exactly that. Could other CEOs and heads of business, you know, come together in specific, under specific industries, in a model like ours? And you know, I'd certainly hope so. We've been approached about that, and you know, I've been asked to speak about our model to bring those groups together, because I think there's something very powerful when people in the same industry are willing to come together and put aside, you know, the very specifics of you know, their focus and be in the room with their competitors. You know, these are fierce competitors sometimes. And also, you know, they're very disparate views. When they are willing to come together and really put all of that energy and focus into solving and you know, problems that we face and gaps in our case in healthcare, I think it's an excellent model and one that's very powerful. And there's been a lot of discussion, and we are excited about sharing our model and helping foster that.
Yeah, and to me, I think one industry that would be ripe for such a council would be the tech industry in Louisville. It's something that has needed to grow, but could use more coordination. We've seen more coordination between some local tech companies and U of L to get training that more specifically fits with their company's needs. But speaking of that, I think health tech is also important with what the Louisville Healthcare CEO Council is doing. And you all are currently working with LEAP to grow health tech. Can you kind of explain that the blueprint for growing that sector?
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, it's really an interesting and wonderful dynamic, because when we convened LEAP to really focus on how we build that innovation economy and how do we foster that cycle of corporate and the people that need the solutions to the entrepreneurs and innovators and that have them, you know, how do we do that effectively? We originally were agnostic of industry. It wasn't just healthcare, you know, that we focused on or health tech. And so we really refocused that last year. Amplify was a spin out of LEAP. And our original efforts, Amplify is led by Larry Horn, who's, you know, amazing. And they really focus on, you know, kind of looking from across all industries, how to support entrepreneurs. LEAP now, which is LHCC, U of L, and our focus with it is very focused on healthcare and health tech. And, you know, it's really interesting because entrepreneurship and healthcare entrepreneurship isn't in a vacuum. There's so much crossover. You know, healthcare doesn't look like healthcare used to. When you look at our future and some of the tech companies and, you know, Microsoft and Google and Amazon, you know, who are major players now in healthcare and a big part of our future, it's very important for us to understand that there's so much crossover and we need to really be fostering that connection to those innovations, you know, that we need.
Yeah, I think that makes perfect sense. And you know, we actually had Will Metcalf, my former professor, who is the president of LEAP, on last season. And that was a great insight into it. And it's interesting to see your perspective on how you all work with LEAP to kind of bring that conversation full circle. But
yeah, Will's amazing, isn't he? He is, you know, we have a co-position actually with the University of Louisville and solidified that, you know, a research university and a vibrant research university. Like U of L, who's a top tier university in research, is very important to our efforts. That was identified early on, you know, both in entrepreneurship and initiatives like LEAP. And Will and I, you know, work so closely together on all of these initiatives. And it really, it threads through everything that we do.
And quite honestly, I think both Louisville Healthcare CEO Council and LEAP have been two of the biggest things that Louisville from, and I don't necessarily want to say from a policy perspective, but an organizational perspective, has been two of the biggest steps forward that Louisville has taken to really set end goals of where they're trying to move forward to and actually laying a blueprint for how to get there. So that's just my opinion. But with that said, are there any other-
I appreciate that opinion.
are there any other initiatives that the Louisville Healthcare CEO Council is working on?
Oh, gosh. Yes. You know, it's so interesting in terms of the pandemic. You know, we just had a summit and brought together the CEOs to talk about, in their words, our focus, which for 2021 is engagement education. We don't even say patient engagement and education anymore because it's so different. You know, the consumer sometimes isn't even the patient. But our CEO set a 5-year roadmap and said, here's where we're going to prioritize what we focus on when we came together. It's really interesting when we talk about it from entrepreneurship and innovation. You know, the council in itself was a startup in every sense of the word. When you know, they selected me as president and CEO and did the press release, I was like, do we have a phone if anybody from the media calls or a, you know, a desk, a pencil, a bank account? And we had nothing. We had to build all of it. And so when we got together and you know, with our board and our CEOs and they set that roadmap, we launched it in fall of 2019. Ben did as our board chair. And then the pandemic hit in 20. But in 2018, we put together our priorities, which came to, you know, our focus in 19 was caregiver support. Our focus in 2020 was social determinants of health. This year it's education and engagement. And it in next year is interoperability. But it almost felt prophetic that 2020 was social determinants of health, because again, you know, we set that as a priority in 2018. And it was just a buzz phrase, you know, for a lot of people. And through now, some of the spotlighting of the challenges that we face in healthcare with the nation, and also equities and the challenges that we have, it didn't change our direction. We were already poised with our initiatives to be able to move forward very effectively, but it definitely accelerated some of those initiatives and furthered them for us. So, you know, the support of our corporate innovation work, which is really the core of what we do, centers around discovery lab to each council company to say, under a focus area, what does, for example, social determinants of health mean to you? How do you approach it as an organization? How do you approach innovation? Where are there gaps? We look for those gaps and have those conversations and the deep dives with the subject matter experts in each council company, and then refine that and look at it across an entire system. You know, for the council, we have from the time you enter, you know, acute care with an onset of event through end of life represented in that room. So we're able to kind of really hone in on the gaps in our areas of opportunity. And then we do a global innovation search for the innovations to fill those gaps. And then, you know, select the innovation that we want. And we just launched our first pilots across the system in April, addressing loneliness and isolation in our long-term care facilities. And, you know, with a real systems approach, it gives us a unique opportunity to really lay down a data-driven evidence base for the investment in interventions to solve for these challenges in a very different way. So, you know, the supporting pieces of that are an integrated data hub. There's nothing like that exists in the U.S. that takes data from, you know, these council companies related to our pilots and use cases to really understand the efficacy of the interventions. The other thing that we're launching is a strategic investment fund. It will be the largest in the state at $50 million. That is, you know, LHCC, as we're doing the search for these innovations, we want to support them. And we want to say you have the access to the customers, the capital, you know, the pilots, and it's kind of an integrated strategy. We'll be launching our Corporate Innovation Center, the physical space, at 201 East Jefferson. The launch for it will be July 12th. And that's the last piece, because this is a very long answer, is our chairman circle, which is a group of former CEOs and founders who have done it, led by Randy Bufford, who was the, you know, founder and former CEO of Trilogy. He's currently chairman of the board. And then we have others like, you know, William Yarmouth, who, you know, founded Almost Family, and Mark Carter, you know, was Passport, working with the state now with vaccines. Cliff Miyasaka, former CEO of Delta Dental. You know, it's Rick Rimmers, who was a former corporate with Humana. And it's, you know, a fascinating group, because they are willing now to champion and mentor these innovators and these entrepreneurs to be able to scale them, usually at the time we lose them in Louisville and to other cities. And so, you know, that I think is going to be a very powerful, very powerful tool for us in Louisville when we say, come here and you'll have the support that you need. And also for us to build solutions to deploy in other cities across the U.S.
Yeah, I think the two things that really stood out to me in that answer is, one, the connectivity between all of the entire entities in the council, that connection allows a lot more innovation to develop. And so that, because they can have data from different entities, different companies, they can use that to fix solutions, hopefully more quickly. And then the other thing you talk about, the mentorship, to me is hugely important, that you just don't necessarily see that in a lot of cities. And that's becoming a growing trend. And it's something that is that Louisville in particular has needed to jump on that bandwagon. But to follow that up, to change gears a little bit, one thing that our listeners will know that I harp on the importance of accessibility constantly, and whether that's accessibility to jobs, accessibility to grocery stores, accessibility to healthcare is in that same category, and it's essential for creating equity. How is, or are they, the Louisville Healthcare CEO Council working to advance healthcare services for those in need?
Oh gosh, you know, this is really at the core. When we look at better health outcomes, you have to address health-related social needs. And, you know, people often, I think, confuse social determinants of health, you know, with really health-related social needs. And our council companies are, you know, individually doing a lot of work in this area and very meaningful work. When you look at what Norton Healthcare is doing in their commitment in our West End, for example, when you look at Humana, you know, they have their bold goal initiatives. I encourage anyone to go to their website and look at it. And this is, you know, been an ongoing, you know, Bruce Broussard really launched this from the minute that he walked through the door, because he fundamentally understands that you cannot improve, you know, health outcomes in the communities that they serve and in our world without really addressing that underlying, that root, you know, of where the issue is. And it's a very different approach. And Humana spent an incredible amount of time going from, you know, an insurance company with aspects of health to, you know, a health company with aspects of insurance. So the individual companies are doing an incredible amount of work in that area. And it is at the core for LHCC when we look at pilots and initiatives. Health equity threads through everything that we do. We're launching a pilot actually in our West End this summer in conjunction with you know, Humana and BrightSpring and that systems approach that we talked about to address loneliness and isolation and aging in place and how we foster that. Because we throw an incredible amount of money sometimes at addressing things without truly understanding the need. Like, for example, transportation, you know, are people not keeping their appointments because they don't have access to transportation? Or is it really because they're depressed and lonely? And until you're in a community and understand the differences by community, you know, that think global but act local is at the core, I believe, from a health equity standpoint.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. And the city of Louisville and state across the country have routinely thrown money at issues without actually fully understanding what the issue is. So I think that's a good point. But to tweak that a little bit, is there a city policy that could help incentivize healthcare companies in more underserved areas? Or is that just solely going to be on the private sector, the Louisville Healthcare CEO Council by itself?
No, I think it takes both. You know, I think that, you know, that is at the core. When you look at really fostering change, and let's use the pandemic even as a lens. When we looked at things that can solve for access, you know, and let's just talk about telehealth, you know, and talk about it from telehealth from an access perspective. You know, there was a need. During this pandemic, you know, the groups and the healthcare leaders were able to come together and with the legislators and enact policy and push through in 72 hours, which what could have taken up to a decade without the urgency created by the pandemic and related to telehealth and the reimbursements. Because we had to do it, right? As a nation, we were faced with something like the tragedy of the pandemic. And one of the silver linings, I think, of something as tragic as this pandemic is that we now know it can be done. So what are we able to come together with policy, with you know, industry, with community organizations to be able to you know, because it has to be the combination, and to be able to further and push through the right policies to go with the efforts and the support for the corporate efforts and the community efforts. So it can't be in a vacuum for either.
Well, it's encouraging to hear that at least you guys are working on it, and we'd like to see the city taking a role as well. But I guess stepping back, Andrew and I have talked about this before. Healthcare has been a major issue on the national stage over the last several years. How do you think Louisville's position as a healthcare leader might be impacted by some of the proposed legislations we've been hearing a lot about, such as, you know, single payer or even just a government option?
You know, it's I think we're uniquely positioned to be able to help inform those policy decisions instead of react to them. By density of cluster, by the work that we're doing, you know, by the insights and this integrated data hub, for example, I think that we have to approach healthcare in a very different way. And we, you know, are really moving to a value-based system. You know, the consumers are very different. And we have such challenges when you consider that 1 in 5 people are going to be over the age of 65 in the next 9 years. When you look at the demographics of our nation and where we are in the bell curve in our population, you know, and the challenges that we're going to have with caregiving, and that we're shrinking, that we've gone from 12.5 caregivers to person that needs it to 7.1, and by 2050 we'll be at 2.3 for every person, you know, that needs it. It's not sustainable in our current world. So healthcare has to change. And I think the approach is changing. In Louisville, you know, we, by this group coming together, I think it's a very powerful dynamic because we are so focused on aging healthcare innovation. I think we're in a position to help drive what that change should look like instead of be reactive to it.
Well, I couldn't agree more. And honestly, on the topic of change, within your sector specifically, we've seen Humana has shown a tremendous ability to change itself to fit a new landscape in the past. Do you think having a CEO council can make the healthcare companies in our state more robust and possibly protect Louisville's position as an industry leader?
Absolutely. You know, it's fascinating. You know, we talked earlier about the differences in healthcare councils and approach. It's so interesting because in Louisville, we're very Midwest. You know, we like we discussed, often compare ourselves to other cities like Nashville. But Nashville are born promoters. You know, they have that with country music. In Louisville, in the Midwest, often we're, oh, we don't talk about it. We just do the work and we prove it. But by virtue of the companies that are even just sitest here and the density of cluster, others around the nation identify us as that concentration in the epicenter of healthcare aging innovation. So I think that the council and the vision that these CEOs had, you know, back in 2017 to come together to really leverage that position uniquely positions us in Louisville and will make us, you know, the leader. When you look at it from healthcare and healthcare innovation, not only in attracting companies here, you know, but also to be able to be that center for solutions that are meaningful on a national level.
Well, honestly, that kind of feeds me into another topic that Andrew and I have touched on in the past, and that's the so-called gray wave that's coming up. How do you think Louisville can prepare for the aging baby boomer population? And does having the CEO council help aid in that preparation specifically?
Yes, and it's a good question. It's funny with the council, you know, originally before even people understood what we were, you know, and what we focused on, it was, okay, do you want, you know, aging people to come to Louisville? You know, is that what we're setting ourselves up to be? And sure, absolutely. But I think that gray wave that you referenced, you know, I've heard it called so many different things, silver tsunami, you know, it is a very real thing. And I think with LHCC, this innovation work that I referenced, when we're going and we formed a partnership, for example, with Aging 2.0, it's an organization out of San Francisco that has now moved its global headquarters to Louisville, Kentucky. They're in 120 chapters in 20 countries across the world. They have an innovator base of 40,000. And it was a natural fit for a strategic partnership because they built from the bottom up with the innovators. We built from the top down with the CEOs and the corporates. And, you know, coming together to be able to look at innovation, to be able to really have that full picture in an innovation economy will prepare us as a nation for that gray wave, because we have to be able to allow people to age in place longer. We have to be able to leverage technology effectively to be able to accomplish that and to have more healthy days and better health outcomes. But it can't be just technology. It's got to be the combination of really understanding the needs to effectively do it. And with LHCC, that is such the core of our innovation work. You know, better health outcomes overall, the individual needs of the council companies, and looking at it as a system in healthcare. So there's nowhere else in the nation that we should want to be in healthcare. I mean, we are so very fortunate to have the company Citus here and that they came together to address this.
That seems to make sense. And one thing that I think that has kind of, I don't want to say petrified Louisvillians in the past, if we continue to look forward, but when Humana was nearly bought by Aetna, we see a lot of consolidation in the healthcare industry happening. Do you think with all of these nationalization and these larger companies buying smaller companies, do you see that as a positive or a negative for Louisville specifically, and kind of just generally in the healthcare field? What are the pros and cons of larger conglomerations?
You know, it's interesting because it's a constantly, you know, evolving and changing dynamic. And, you know, I know all of us have felt that fear, you know, with Humana. When you look at Humana, what it means to our community, and, you know, Bruce and Bruce Broussard, their CEO, and Humana as a whole has really doubled down on the commitment here. And I think that's a part of the work that we all have to do to be able to position Louisville and to be able to, you know, have these initiatives in this innovation. It's part of the core of the work with LHCC, and one of, you know, our metrics of success and my metrics of success is to bring together, you know, the strength of the entire cluster, so that when there are these, you know, this integration or these large, you know, buyouts, it really is irrelevant, because, you know, we are able to have the talent here, but we're also able to provide the, you know, the solutions and the innovations that can be expanded and duplicated nationally. I think that's really our space here. And it's also, you know, it's really at the core, I think, with that, our ability to do that has to be through this systems approach. So I'm excited about what our future looks like there. I think we've made great strides in recent years to be able to take away that threat, you know, of just like, you know, people felt during the Aetna Humana, you know, potential buyout.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know we're wrapping up here, so we do have a couple final questions for you, but just generally, do you have any other projects that you're currently working on that you'd like to promote?
We're going to be bringing together, you know, when we launch our innovation center formally with a physical space, I'm really excited about the programs and the connections and for the community to even have a deeper understanding of what we're doing with innovation around this. And so, you know, I think that's going to be one of the strike points for us this fall. Aging 2.0, the organization that I referenced, they had an optimized conference in San Francisco. We're currently in the middle of their global innovation search for us with our partnership, and we're going to be convening in September 28th and 29th with this summit around healthcare innovation, and that's going to hit all the different pods we talked about, health tech, you know, a little bit of everything. So September 28th and 29th. More to come on that, and that we moved that conference from San Francisco to Louisville, I think is very telling. So I'm really excited to have the community engage with that on a very broad level here now that we're actually able to be together, you know, as we have like a vaccine in our community that allow for it. So, you know, that I think in that global innovation search, I think people should be excited about it. I think it opens incredible opportunity for our innovators, and it provides solutions that we need, you know, for our corporates.
Well, Tammy, we really appreciate you coming on today. This has been a tremendous conversation. But before we can let you go, we do ask all of our guests the same final question. If you had the power to change one policy in Louisville, just snap your fingers and make it happen, what would it be?
Boy, you know, that's really, you know, just one. And we call it magic wand. So snapping the fingers, magic wand. You know, I think really... It's really difficult to focus on that in Louisville without, you know, addressing the need to improve our tax structure at a state level. You know, we have to take a different approach at a state level, and that's what's going to impact Louisville more. You know, we have challenges in Louisville because it's a bit unique that, you know, our largest city and the largest economic engine isn't where our capital is. And that's a challenge and a different dynamic. You know, if I had to hone in on, you know, maybe one just off the top of my head, because it's near and dear to my heart when we're talking about access to capital, maybe expanding the, you know, angel investment funding tax credit. I think that could be meaningful. But other things I think really are at a state level. We have to be able to address that because locally, you know, there really aren't the local ordinances that have great effect when Frankfurt has most of the control.
Hmm. Yeah, that's the first time we've gotten that answer.
Yeah,
so,
pretty yeah. interesting.
And
I like that.
I do think it has an important place, especially with the Angel Fund, because, you know, look, in my job, for example, I see that, you know, part of the reason that the United States leads in innovation is because of all of the venture capital angel investor funds that people put into startups, right? That's part of the reason that the United States innovates as well as any nation or any region in the world.
Yeah, and I'd love to see Louisville or the state generally becoming a more prominent player in that area.
Absolutely. That's, you know, that aligns with our goals. I share with you in that desire. And I think we're making strides and a lot of strides. I think that we're moving towards a new future there. So I'm excited about what the future holds. And that's a key piece.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you so much, Tammy, for joining us. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me. I've enjoyed it.
Yeah, it was a pleasure. We'll pick back up with our reaction segment after a word from our sponsor.
Well, Luke, that was another great interview. This time we had with Tammy Yorkday, the president and CEO of the Louisville Healthcare CEO Council. I think what really stood out to me was the importance of taking what a city is good at and trying to unify those leaders to not only further the development of the city, but also further the development of that industry so that they can be more robust and reliant on each other, even though they're also at the same time competitors. What kind of stood out to you?
Yeah, I so often I think I go with just that last question, you know, like what would they change if they could? And I think her answer was super interesting, but because I do it so often, I want to talk about something else. And I thought it was her mention of how I think healthcare really needs to work with tech and lean into that, and the innovations that we've seen over the last few years and like what we can expect going forward. So things like LEAP and the advancements and innovations we're seeing in the healthcare sector right now being driven in part by new technology, and like what the CEO Council and healthcare providers in general can learn from other industries.
Yeah, and I think the tech component of it, which like we said earlier, we had Will Metcalf on of LEAP, which for those of you that don't remember is the Louisville Entrepreneurial Acceleration Partnership or programs, since they're rebranding the last part. And that blend of adding technology is incredibly important, and they're also doing that through the University of Louisville as well. And it's a great connection of business leaders and city leaders and tech leaders. But with that said, I thought their discussion on equity and how Tammy said that they are trying to find innovative ways so that cities, governments aren't just throwing money at problems, trying to solve them. They're trying to understand, okay, why aren't people showing up for certain appointments? Why are certain people in certain areas of the city having particular health outcomes?
Yeah, no, it's encouraging to hear that that's something that they keep in mind and something that, you know, is important to her and I guess the council as a whole. It's an issue we've talked about a lot here, and you know, to be a healthcare leader like we are as a city, it's good to know that the leaders in that industry are focused on those type of issues.
Now, I will say though, when I posed the question, or we posed the question, that what is needed to create more equity to help grow the health industry, she said it both took local leadership from the government side and also the business side, but she didn't really give too much of what the government could do other than what she mentioned with the angel investment tax credit,
which is interesting. I mean, like, I think that's something that, again, getting back to that last question, which I love to talk about, I think it is something that I would love to see, you know, and not everybody loves tax credits, especially for businesses, but for something like an angel investor fund, like, that's a really, really good way to grow new businesses in your state and in the city. And it's something that I think is non-controversial and just an overall good idea.
Yeah. And so I will say, though, that I guess my point was, what can the government do to try and help foster more development in the healthcare space? And it was interesting. She said if there was massive overhaul by the government, whether that's to a government option or even straight to universal healthcare, that because there's a system, they feel confident that there will be a robust ability to change from the Louisville businesses, from the Louisville healthcare companies. And I think that's, of course, that's what they're going to say. But I do think the systemic use together of the healthcare council and being able to rely on each other's data,
yeah,
as the primary source is something that can allow them to move in the market better because they have so much more knowledge together. I'm sure individually they're massive companies. They have tons of data that they're purchasing or aggregating. Yeah. But I think they have the ability to be more flexible just from the pure data consumption that they get as a group.
Yeah, I mean, the sharing of ideas and the resources, it would have to aid in the ability to adapt in, you know, a massive change like we're talking about with like maybe a single payer or even just, I think, government option that's probably more realistic as it stands.
I do wonder, though, how successful this could be if we had multiple councils for different industries. So the big one I've always said is I think Louisville needs to have a tech CEO council. And you know, she mentioned the importance of health tech,
yeah,
right? So why aren't we putting the tech leaders on one hand and the healthcare leaders on the other? They're both going to have their own council. And then together, they could have collaborative events in which they figure out the best way forward for both the healthcare and the tech industries and see how they can collaborate.
Yeah,
to be more efficient together.
Oh, absolutely. And I hate to segue like I always do, but that kind of leads me into the white paper for this week, which it was published in 2018. It's titled Essential Skills for Cross-Sector Leadership. Excuse me. You know, it really does. As the title implies, it states just a bunch of different skill sets and qualities that they think make cross-sector leadership opportunities similar to the Healthcare CEO Council effective. And I'm not going to bother battering everybody with just a list of qualities and why they think they might be important. But I think there was an anecdote in there that really stood out to me. And it's something that I hadn't thought of. And it wasn't – the example was Michael Tubbs. He was the mayor of Stockton, California. In trying to solve a poverty issue in his town and in a certain sector of his town, rather than just bringing together leaders from certain businesses that he thought would impact it, he was also bringing in – community leaders, faith leaders, prominent individuals like, and say, kind of like a local celebrity types. And I thought like that whole mixture of different stakeholders in a region, would have to lead to probably the most optimal outcome. And I thought it was just a way of looking at this kind of cross-sector leadership opportunities that I hadn't really thought of expanding it that far beyond. But you'd have to imagine that a positive feedback you'd get from that would be pretty impressive.
Well, let's just even take, for example, the equity that we were bringing up earlier, yeah. Trying to figure out health outcomes. Maybe faith leaders are the ones that are the most accessible in the community, especially in poorer neighborhoods, to allow, you know, them to be the go-between for healthcare providers, to get them help, get them access and get them connected with the medical care that they actually need.
Yeah, I mean, there's no question that that's generally the type of person that's going to have their finger on the pulse of a given community, maybe more so than anybody else. And, you know, it'd be interesting to see. I wish I had brought it up at the time. It'd be interesting to see if the CEO Council ever pursues something like that, that type of outreach.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea going forward. I do think the other thing that I kind of took from this was taking a systems approach. I know just as my job as a corporate attorney, anytime that we're reviewing documents or working on a deal, that it's so important to have systems in place so that you know how to get from point A to point B to point C to point D. And having a healthcare CEO council where literally every single member has to be the CEO of their company. I know they made one exception, but you're having the top leaders that can make the decisions for their companies working together to create systemic change. And so I think that is the most important concept here to me, is that they can together put in place the systems to actually make change, both in the business world of healthcare and in the equity side of healthcare.
Yeah, no, absolutely. The other thing that I thought was kind of, it was reassuring to hear was, we've talked about the Nashville CEO Council before, and we'd always, I think, been kind of curious as to like maybe the whatever connection might exist. And as soon as we brought it up, it sounded like they were on a first name basis,
yeah.
You know, Tammy and whoever their CEO is. So that was good to hear, you know, and I think she's mentioned that it exceeded, you know, beyond just the relationship with Nashville to like other councils of a similar nature across the nation. And that's just, I can't imagine that isn't going to yield better outcomes for them.
Yeah. And I know you don't want to list these, but I'm just looking at some of the different categories of cross-sectional leadership, like the importance. And if they just seem to be relevant to exactly what the Healthcare CEO Council is doing, sharing knowledge and learning, you know, taking a systems approach, which I already mentioned, understanding the impact on people, fostering innovation of culture, you know, it's just that level of importance for cross-sectional leadership has to recognize that this is not, I mean, the healthcare industry is one sector, but I think they recognize from this conversation that they're impacting other areas.
Yeah.
I do wonder what the policy could be from a government perspective to help foster more growth here. And I don't know if that is working, putting public funds or using public dollars to coordinate with these healthcare companies to create more accessibility, you know, maybe working with the metro government health clinics or you know, working with government officials that are government employees that are outreach.
Well, you have to imagine when you have something like the Louisville Healthcare CEO Council, if you're the government and you're trying to improve that healthcare outreach, rather than having to go to all of the different healthcare providers, all of the different healthcare stakeholders in the state or in the region, you have the CEO Council that you can go to and get like a unanimous voice from all of the different players involved. And that would have to aid, again, in the decision making on the government's part and the ability to form a cohesive idea of what you know you think your plan of action is from the CEOs.
Well, and this like same thing that we're talking about with the health tech or with the technology sector too, right? If we were to have something in this technology sector, I mean, we continue to hear government leaders across the country say we need more tech jobs.
Yeah,
but how do you get that, right? And that's part of the question, is if you have the leadership that tells you what they need, maybe the local government, the city government, the state government can help provide. But when the voices aren't unified together, it's harder to know from the government perspective what policy or what program they can implement.
Yeah, if all you got was the amplification of your voice in terms of lobbying the government or getting your message across to the government, that would be great. But it seems like you get just a tremendous amount of other benefits from this type of cooperation. And, you know, tech is great. I'd like to see more sectors than just healthcare and tech trying to adopt this type of model and bourbon. Trying to implement it. Yeah, bourbon. Bourbon would be great. And, we've got some bourbon partnerships. But, yeah, no, it's good to have, like, a unified voice across your particular realm of business. And I think it's something that, again, I'd just love to see an expansion of it.
But it's not always just a unified voice. It's the collaboration.
Yeah.
Rather, like, you recognize that they are competitors, but they're also understanding their impact on the community and trying to take that step forward.
Oh, and now, problem solving, like working together for problems that might affect like the whole, like the entirety of some type of business, you know, mm-hmm. being able to put your heads together and work on a specific cure that's going to work for everybody.
Yeah, it's still relatively young. It'll be interesting to see what projects and what programs they have going forward that can really impact the community, not just from a business perspective, but from a healthcare equity perspective.
Definitely. Well, did you have anything else, Andrew?
I don't have anything else. Thanks for tuning in, guys.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for joining us.
As always, thanks for tuning in. Thanks for joining us on Building This Community. If you'd like any more information, you can follow us on Twitter at BuildingThisCom, COM, or you can follow Andrew
at Andrew J. Klump. And you can also follow Luke
at LMP43. Definitely subscribe, and we look forward to talking to you guys next week.